Good afternoon. Welcome to the class. In a greeting to you, I thought I would read from John just two verses in response to everything that we've heard already this morning. Jesus said there in John 8, he said to those Jews which believed on him. You know, this morning we've heard a lot about believing right, and it's very necessary. And he goes on and said, if you continue in my word, and that's what we're interested in, isn't it? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I don't know what that means to you, to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But in my short years of ministry, I find that is so true. There is such freedom in exercising God's truth in our lives and in our responsibilities. There's a lot of freedom in there. And it's true for you as school boards and ministers and whoever you are. The truth brings freedom. It's a blessing, tremendous blessing in our lives. And I trust that you understand that concept this afternoon. When I was given this topic, pastoral support for boards facing tough situations, I just felt like I was really at a disadvantage. I was ordained in 2000, and before that, well, I should back up a wee bit here. It's been over 30 years since I've been on a school board. I have memories, and yet some things are a little bit dim. And this topic has really made me think of that. And then in 2000, I was ordained to the ministry, and because of circumstances the way they are in our situation, I as a minister have never ever, I think I may say that, have opportunity to sit at school board meetings and be involved with school boards or school administration. And so I am here this afternoon feeling at a very, very disadvantage. And I just want to say that I am here as a student. And I would be interested in hearing some things from you that have experience. And I trust we can have some discussion so that we can all learn. One thing I would really be interested in knowing is how many of you are school board members? Two. And does that mean all the rest of you are ordained? How many of you are ordained? Yes. Thank you. Interesting. Because, you know, when you face a topic or even if you prepare for a message, one of the questions is, what is the need of the hour? And that has really gone through my mind here. And one thing I would like to ask the school board members here. As a school board member, where would you rate pastoral support in your role as a school board member? How important is it? If you would have to rate it from 1 to 5, where would you put it? Ken?
5. 5.
Well, you know, they take these polls of the public, and I don't know how they do that. They take the voice of so many people, and they say that's how the general public thinks, and I'm hoping that's how all of our schools think, that it's 5. And I thank you for that. And I was wondering, you know, are you looking for help in tough situations? I don't think so. Maybe you are, I don't know. But are you here to learn how to support your school board members? And I think by the ratio here, that's probably what you're here for. How can you help your school board members? Because of my situation, if I may say that, I decided to interview a lot of school boards. And I purposely didn't interview very many in Ontario. I talked to a few. But my findings, I went outside of the borders of Ontario, and I talked with quite a few school board members. And I asked them some pointed questions. And I've come up with three models. And I want to share those models with you. And then we want to go from there this afternoon. You know, I spoke to those school board members. I did not visit their schools. I did not visit their churches. I did not talk to their ministry. And I didn't talk with their patrons. Although I was not totally ignorant of some of their situations. I will have to admit that. I knew a little bit of what was going on. But having said that, my conclusions this afternoon may not, they may be a little bit one-sided when I present to you my three models. And I hope, and I'm going to start with one model, and we're going to look at all of them a little bit and look at the fruit, see what's happening in those models. And I hope not one of us here is in the third model. And I hesitate to tell you the third model because it should never be. And yet, I found it is a reality in schools of conservative Anabaptist churches. In these three models, there were similar goals, similar vision, but the end result was not always the same, and there were some sad situations. I would just like to say this at this time, that, you know, God honors faithfulness, and I really just want to encourage you, brethren, in that God honors faithfulness, and in spite of big mistakes sometimes, in spite of being found in a situation that is less than ideal, God in his mercy and his goodness and his greatness can still work great things. I've heard that in situations that were deplorable. And so may that be an encouragement. God does honor faithfulness. We want to remember those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God honors faithfulness. All right. The first model. They said, yes, we have excellent pastoral support. In that model, they said, we don't know how it could be any better. They said, we have never had an experience where we have not had excellent and perfect biblical ministerial support. And I was blessed to hear that. I really was. That was more than one school board member that said that. I was blessed. Brethren, I want to tell you, it is attainable. Obviously, it's attainable. By the grace of God, it's attainable. I found in asking some more questions that school board was at rest. When we look at the fruit, or whatever you want to call it, that school board was at rest. They were finding fulfillment in their role. They had a clear vision. And by the way, that does not mean that they had no tough situations to work through. But they were able to attain their goals with work. They were able to attain their goals, and it resulted in a stability in school, in a stable stability in the school. And I was going to say stability in the church, but I think I'm going to say it a little different. I think it reflected a stability in the church. I think it reflected a stability in the church. That was the first model. And I was blessed by that. The second model was, and I've put these together a little bit. You understand, it's a little bit general. But the second model I found was, they said, yes, we have support. We have support. But there are times we do experience situations where we could use some more. In asking some more questions, I found that, you know, the fruit of this situation where they felt they were actually, the school board admitted they had support, but they felt something was lacking. They could have used more. And in this situation, there was vision. But in tough situations, the goals were not always apparent or properly formulated. And I realize this is pretty general. But something else I saw that the end result often was a little less than a biblical solution. You know, the end result, it became workable. It seemed to work for a time, but it was a little less than a biblical solution. And it ended up leaving some unanswered and nagging questions for the school board. And not only the school board, but also for the ministry and the patrons, I believe. So that was the second one. The third one, they said, yes, we have support. But they said, that is not the same as receiving biblical leadership. And that caught my attention. They said, yes, we have support, but there's no biblical leadership. And so, they said, we have difficult situations that cannot be resolved. That's what I was told. Excuse me, I didn't say that right. We have difficult solutions that cannot be resolved. I hope none of you here that are experiencing anything like this. Because it was heartrending to listen to some. They have difficult situations that cannot be resolved. And they said, we simply put up with them and deal with the situations the best we can when they finally explode. And to me, it was sad. And none of us want to be there. Here, too, there was a vision. But I did find, because there's no true biblical leadership, the vision was a little bit individualistic. And often the goals and the procedures tended to be a little bit that way too. And it only makes sense, doesn't it? They had support, yeah. The minister said, we're praying for you. The ministers would come along and pat them on the back maybe and say, keep up the good work. They even attended some of the school board meetings. Or most of them. But in this situation, something that becomes evident to me as I ask them questions, school problems became church problems. School problems became church problems. And in this situation, because of, I guess, the nature of the whole situation, I don't know, these whole situations raised some questions in my mind. But when they became church problems, they were generally not addressed properly either. In this situation, I found the school board is not always clear on their role and jurisdiction. And in a situation like this, the school board had a tendency to step outside of their authority and their role to try to deal with problems. And I don't, brethren, I don't know how this works. Maybe you can tell me. But in these situations, do the ministry not understand their roles and their authority and how this is all supposed to work? Or do they simply just not get it done? I don't know. I would have some questions there. But one thing I found very interesting, that when the school board crossed the roll or a line, the minister generally knew it. I had one brother tell me they had an obvious need in their school. And so the school board sat down and they wrote up a guideline and a procedure to address this need. And the ministry encouraged them to do it. The ministry actually even gave them material to help write this up. And so they wrote it up, the school board wrote it up, and the school board called two meetings. And the minister and all the brethren in the church were along at these meetings. And they presented their plan, and they had discussion. And they had two meetings. They wanted to make sure they're all on the same page. And at these meetings, the minister didn't have a lot to say. But the school board, the man I was talking to was a chairman, and he said it. He took it as a mark of approval. And the school and the ministry had no objections. And so at the end of the second meeting, they thought they had approval, 100% support. And they put this whole thing in, they put this thing into, they implemented it, and they went on with the plan, only to have the ministry call them. The ministry called the school board and sat down with them and told them, what you did was wrong, it wasn't right, and you can't do it. I guess, brethren, my mind can't fathom these kind of things. And I trust that this is very foreign to anything, any way you think. But I found it was a reality. That's sort of sad. You know, those kind of situations are a seedbed for confusion, frustration. It doesn't bring stability in the church or the school or anything. And I suppose that now you're thinking that outside of the first response, I've painted a pretty dark picture. And, you know, ministers who are failing and school board members who are totally incapable, and that's not my intent. I honestly believe that the opposite is true in the churches of God, but we know that life is very real. And situations can become complicated, and we are human. We all know that. I believe in the work of the church, work of the school, there are three things needed. And first of all is, we've heard it already today, the first one is that we need the spirit of the mind of Jesus Christ. As school board members and as you provide pastoral encouragement and support, and we'll get to that a little bit later. It did seem to me that where there is no proper where there's no proper ministerial or pastoral support, that there was a lack of understanding of authority and roles in God's kingdom work. And this afternoon, it is not my intent to address authority and how it works. I think that's something that should be clearly taught in every church. And you brethren that are here, that are ordained, I believe it's a responsibility you have to teach that, how it works. We believe that school is the arm of the church. I believe, we all believe that. School is an arm of the church. It's a very real part of the church. And therefore, you know, as such, there is an authoritative relationship that must function and must work. And I believe God gives us those that direction in the Bible, those instructions. So this afternoon, I'm not addressing tough situations. I know they're very, very real. I know that they can look like mountains of unattainable heights. I know they can take the joy out of your work and your responsibility as a school board member. But this afternoon, we want to look at some Bible directives and principles that are conducive to helping us work through problems and things of that nature. We want to look at pastoral support this afternoon. I did go to my trusty dictionary my second college edition of the New World Dictionary. That's almost as old as I am. That's a dear friend of mine. And I looked up the word support just to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. And I find that it gave eight aspects of meaning to describe support. And I think they're interesting. I'm not going to give you all eight. But it's just interesting. You know, to support is to carry or bear the weight, to keep something from falling down or slipping or sinking out of sight, so to speak. We're talking about pastoral support. It means to give courage and confidence and help and comfort. It means to give approval. Show your favor. It means to maintain and provide means of maintenance to keep up what you're trying to keep up. And to bear. We should maybe also look at the word pastoral. What's the word mean?
Shepherding.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good... The etymology of the word is based on a shepherd and his work. A shepherd and his work. Pastoral. There's a few other meanings. That's how we're looking at it this afternoon. A shepherd and his work. As I considered this and as I was pondering all of this, I thought of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, I believe, was mentoring and supporting a young bishop by the name of Timothy. And I began reading through the book of Timothy, and I found areas of support pop up all over. Paul had a very wonderful way of writing. You know, when he wrote to the Corinthians, and they were a church that had a tremendous amount of problems to deal with, but his words of encouragement, the way he addressed it, support. And especially in Timothy also. And I want to look at that. Let's turn to 1 Timothy as we consider ways to support we as ministry. And as we go through this, I'm going to be asking you some questions, maybe to fill in some blanks. I want to look at, and I'll tell you right now, that as I go through this, I am taking thoughts out of context. I want that understood. We're looking at little nuggets that pop up that we can apply to this situation. And the first one is in 1 Timothy 1, verse 2. He says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." You know what he was doing? He was blessing Timothy. And as a pastoral support, as ministers of the gospel, how do you bless the school board? That's a big question. How are you blessing the school board? And maybe here we need to ask the school board members, if we're going to ask a question, how they think you are blessing them in their situation. But I would like to say, first of all, your presence at meetings is a blessing, an important blessing. Your presence in meetings. I guess I really want to emphasize that, and I'm pretty sure that in our circles, in our situations, that is a practice that we keep. But let's keep it. Let's maintain it. Let's be there. And I know churches do different ways. Maybe they'll appoint one minister to attend all the meetings and keep the other ministers in the loop and that. There's different ways. I'm not saying there's one way. But your presence at the meetings. I had one school member, one board member tell me that there's at least one present at all their meetings. Whether it's a board member, a board meeting, whether it's parent interviews, whether it's, then there's parent-teacher meetings, and many of you are there by default because your children are there, right? But I was impressed. He said there is one member present at every meeting. He doesn't know, in his experience, he doesn't know of one never being there. And that blessed me, being there. I had another brother member tell me that the minister used to be along all the time, but lately not so much. And he said, there's something missing. And so I want to encourage you. I don't know how you do it as a congregation and how you have it set up, but I think that your presence at the meetings is very, very important. That's up at the five. Do you know what that tells the scoreboard? Do you know what that tells the church? You know, it reveals the value that you as a ministry are putting on the school. And subconsciously, the church knows that. Don't ask me how, but subconsciously, the church knows that, if the ministry are there or if they're not. And it's a powerful witness. See, I had one tell me that, no, the ministers are never there because they have more important things to do. Yeah, the one was involved in a children's class in town, and the other was involved here, and he said, it's just like these things are in competition with us in school, and they're taking our ministry away from us. We don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. Your presence, your participation, provides a continuity in the work of the church and the school that I believe will alleviate some tough situations. Your constant presence there and participation, I believe it will. And it's not just the visiting school. It's not just being at the board members, it's also visiting school and taking an interest. And you might have some other thoughts. Do you have any other thoughts in ways that you can bless the school board that you would like to share this time? As a minister. Some of you were teachers before you were ministers. But I believe it's important that you are blessing the school board members. Let's
taking our turn for school devotions.
That's right. Taking our turn for school devotions. It's very important. Very important. How was that again?
That the minister don't leave the impression that they need the last word.
Yeah, that's right. The school board has a work to do. And they need to do it. And I think we might get into that. But part of your support is helping them do their work, encouraging them to do their work. Now, there's a place where the ministry has to step in, but that's a total different situation. But it's important that you help them and equip them to do their work. It's very important. Let's turn to the next two verses in 1 Timothy 1, 3 and 4. You know, verse 3, he says, I told you to abide in Ephesus and that he's to teach no other doctrine. Verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies and you know, you're going to say, well, what has that got to do with school? What has that got to do with school? But as ministerial support, pastoral support, I think it's important that the ministry are giving very sound biblical counsel and direction at those meetings. It's like Brother Ivan said, I don't think you have to have the last word. It's not what you're there. The board has a work to do. But to give sound biblical counsel and direction to help develop discernment. If we would go on down, I'm not going to take the time, but from verse 8 where he says, you know, we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. And in the next verses there up to verse 11, what is he talking about? I think he's talking about discernment. You know, we have young brethren come on school boards and that's well and good. And as a ministry, as those of you who are laboring in the gospel and have some experience to help these brethren develop discernment and things of that nature. I believe, well, developing discernment and judgment, I believe that's a great opportunity at board meetings. And I believe it's imperative in the work of the board. You know, I think I've got around a little bit already in some respects. And as I work with people, I find one of the biggest needs in our churches is people lacking discernment. And maybe I'm wrong. There's a lack of discernment. And where there's a lack of discernment, I see people getting into trouble. A lack of discernment. And so there's a wide open door for you, brethren, to teach proper judgment and discernment as it relates to the daily administration of the school board's work and encouraging them in it. There was an elderly board member that I interviewed, and he served many, many years as a board member with quite a few different ministers participating and other brethren, and he made this observation, and I'm sure you know all about it. But he said, in looking back, his observation would be that the school board is next to or even equal with the ministry in influence and in shaping the mindset of a generation. I don't know what you think of that. And so, our school board members are very important. Very, very important. And I believe as an arm of the church and the God-given umbrella of authority, you as ordained brethren have a responsibility to help the school board. And I believe this would go as far as to who is put on the school board. One brother said to me from the U.S., he said, our church, it's just open. We have a wide open vote from anybody in the church, youth and everybody involved, and they put somebody on the school board. And he said, that's just going to happen very shortly here. And he said, I'm just shuddering to think who may come on the school board. I don't think that should happen. I don't know how you do it. But I think we have a responsibility here. He also said that what the school board allows in school will be in the church in 10 years. I don't know if you agree with that or not. But that's what he said. In verse 5 of 1 Timothy 1, we have another thought. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. I believe as we think of support to a school board and as we think of tough situations and working through them, there are four things here that becomes your prerogative. And I would hope the school board would also have this vision and would know about it, but as a support group there and as an advisory council or whatever you are there, in supporting the school board, here are four things that should happen to bring tough situations to closure. And you can see what they are. Charity. Well, charity is the act of love, and I would like to apply that to forgiveness and love restored. Forgiveness and love restored. And then we have pure heart. You know, there's a lot of attitudes in the heart that come along with tough situations. And a lot of things that shouldn't be there. And I realize that this varies with situations. But too often, when we're talking about tough situations, we have some grown-ups along. Church members along. And these can become issues. And a pure heart, you know, peace restored. True peace restored, pure heart. And then a pure conscience. Pure conscience, a clear conscience. And faith strengthened so that we're back together, pulling together. Yes. There are times when tough situations are a result of a home situation. And you know all about that. And I believe then as a ministry, it's important that you look after that. And there's a place probably where the school board gets involved, but where the ministry do not exercise their role in the home situation. And when it becomes a home situation, then the school boards, by and large, would have said they're not receiving support from their ministry. Well, there'd be more things we could say. I'm going to open it up. Do you have things you would like to share? Make observations. This is a huge topic. We could have looked at authority, could have looked at different things. Anybody at all, something you'd like to share?
I'd like to ask a question. I'm not sure how it is in every board, but at our church, the ministry is actually a part of the board ex officio, to use that term. So when we go to a board meeting, we technically have the right to vote.
Yeah, okay.
How much should we use that?
Well, I don't have the answer to that question. Maybe some other people have a thought here. I'll share one illustration. A brother told me that there was a minister in their church and never ever came. And he's been on the board for two terms. Never ever came to a board member meeting until his son was in trouble at school. Then he showed up. And we'll just leave it at that. But, you know, that man was guilty of abusing authority. That man was guilty of abusing authority. Now, that's a different situation, what you're talking about. We don't want to do that. Anybody have any thoughts on Brother David's question? I don't think David, there's not necessarily a right or wrong way, is there? I mean, that's how you do it. It works, and it's probably a blessing.
In our case, the ministry would vote along with the board and most of the institutions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess I've always voted along with the board, but practice the opposite of your example. If I knew my son would be talked about, then that was a good time for my fellow minister to go to the meeting at all.
Yeah, appreciate that. You know, some of our churches, we have that kind of policy and understanding in our church. As a minister in the church, when my son is causing a problem in the church, I'm invited to be at the meeting. I'm invited to share my opinion and everything as far as that goes, but I have no voice in what the church actually decides in the end, and I need to accept that. Any other thoughts? Well, actually, maybe I just read a few thoughts, yeah. A church or school or ministry or school board cannot be successful when there are two sides. It is the minister's responsibility to keep all involved on the same page. When we lose structure, we lose foundation, and then we lose life. Maybe some of that could be turned around. All authority is under authority, and true authority is validated by godly service. Think about that one a little bit. But I believe that's what the centurion demonstrated. True authority is validated by godly service. It's not standing on a pedestal and telling others what to do.